Well, it is time again for our regular technology segment. On Wednesdays, we have Morris Misolowski, who's a business futurist, joining us in our studios. Morris, welcome.
Good to be here, as always.
Now, a few weeks ago, during one of our segments, you mentioned 3D printers, and I love 3D film, okay, when I can get to see them. Very expensive at times, but anyway, I perked up at the mention of it. We didn't quite explore it, but today you're going to be explaining the concept of 3D printers, because it extends through, well, certain sorts of technology, health even, and
So it's quite amazing. Now, back to your film for just a second. You enjoy 3D film.
Yeah.
I was on the Gold Coast. I just come back, and they have a 7D film that they're talking about there. So it includes all the things 3D does, as well as, I'm told, as well as weather and water and movement and all kinds of things.
Well, you'd have to take your raincoats and your umbrellas and all that.
So it's quite amazing how far that's gone. But
and
anyway,
those plugs as well.
Most probably. So I digress as always. Let's go back to 3D printing.
Okay. Yeah, what is it?
So you're right. So last time we talked about the notion of this new phenomenon. Yeah. It's just beginning to take hold. But in fact, the technology goes back about 20 years or so. Mm. So firstly, think about it, what it is very much a printer that prints in 3D. So what you do is, for instance, you can take a normal glass, a glass you might drink out of. What happens is that you would scan that glass as a 3D image and then use that 3D image that you've created to send it, as you would with an ordinary fax machine going back to the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So you'd send that file across to another 3D printer, and it would then print out a glass, an absolute glass that you could then take out of the machine and drink from.
Okay. So we'll need to go through this one step at a time, because I'm trying to make sense of this. When we talk here about printing, we normally talk about paper.
Yes.
What material does this object get printed in?
It depends on what material you want it printed in, and the range is growing. So at the moment, most of the materials it prints in are inorganic. So it can print, for instance, in glass, it can print in sand, it can print in all kinds of things. Perhaps if we think about the dot matrix printer, because it really works along those principles. What it does, there are two ways that it works. There's an additive and a subtractive. I'll explain that in a sec. But the additive one is like a dot matrix printer. If you remember back to those old days, and it's quite a while ago since we've seen one of those, they laid down little dots and it built a picture on the paper, a flat one obviously, but a picture on the paint by little dots.
Yes.
This is the equivalent, but think layers. So what it's doing, instead of a flat image, it's literally putting layer upon layer upon layer. And what it builds from is whatever you've put into that machine.
Yeah.
So ceramic, it can be glass, it can be food as well. And increasingly now, it can also be polymer and other materials. So literally, these things are fed into the machine. The machine's given some kind of a recipe and a diagram, almost like a 3D CAD machine, if you've seen those buildings that they build, you know, the virtual ones.
Yes.
So it's sent that kind of an image. It actually is very, very similar to that. It has all the specifications of what that thing is. It knows what to do, and it literally builds it dot by dot by dot.
Can I go to a store, a shop, a place somewhere, and ask them to get this printed in 3D?
Very soon you will. In fact, there's a group in America which is starting up, which is doing exactly what you've just said, and that is that they want to be the local corner store. Now we might go to a printer and have things photocopied or done for us. They want to work down that road. So yes, the answer is in about 2 or 3 years, you absolutely will be able to. Now it seems like a step that's only come recently, but in manufacturing, we've had prototyping for years and years, and prototyping simply meant that we built a smaller model. We didn't actually build the big building or the car or the boat. We actually built it in a smaller model.
Yeah.
And that was actually done through a similar device.
Yes.
So the technology, kind of been around for a while.
Yeah.
Now my usual term, on steroids. Now it does a lot more than it did before, and we're beginning to see it used in a lot of different environments.
Okay, let's go through some of that, because I understand it. It includes health. It includes architecture, for example.
Some of the basic ones, some of the interesting ones, I mean, they're all interesting, is that we can now do 3D printing of food. There are, literally on the market now, if you do a search, you'll find chocolate printers, and it will print chocolate for you. So think those little jewel chocolates you might go into the stores now, you know, the expensive $4 or $5 a pop little square things with very intricate designs and beautiful recipes inside.
Yes.
You can actually print those.
Where through... No, I'm kidding. Where have you seen that? Okay.
So do a search on that. For a lot of things we're talking...
Because usually they were done by molds.
Well, they're done by hand or by mold, exactly. Yes. So they're done by somebody, and it requires effort, as it should do, by an artisan.
Yes.
I mean, they really are artisans. They're craftspeople that are doing it.
Yes.
So what we're doing now is exactly as I've said before, is they're sending the recipes to this device. They're putting in the intricacies of what the pattern should be. It can be multicoloured, multi-flavoured, all those things, and it will print it out. For many of the things we're talking about this afternoon, if you want to do the proverbial search, you'll actually find video on most of them, so you can have a look at them, because it's often a difficult concept if you haven't seen it done at least once. So have a look for that, and worst, you can always jump onto my blog and have a look, and you'll find video there as well. Now, the other thing that we're seeing now are things like cement, which I came across a couple of weeks ago. 3D printing of cement. Now, that sounds strange. Why would you want to do that? But think about many of the buildings that are going up now. They're actually going up as cement panels.
So the prefabricated...
Exactly. So what they're saying now is that it's not even prefabricated anymore, because prefabricated was like a jigsaw puzzle. They would deliver many, many pieces, and you would then put them together on site, like a jigsaw puzzle. This is actually a cement building. So what it does, again, think your dot matrix, but much bigger, obviously. What it does is it takes the CAD drawing from the architect and the engineer, and it literally lays down cement as a printer would. So what it can do is to put down very intricate designs, architecture designs. It actually puts the windows in. It leaves channels so that the piping for all of the electricity and the water and things are in it. So what it's doing is, in one hit, it actually lays out the entire floor plan. And a step further than that, these are all prototypes, so this is a prototype as well. There are a couple of universities, and that tends to be where most of this thing is, including the cement printer we just talked about. There is a university who's working on a printer that will print homes, the homes you and I live in. And what they're seeing is, again, we have to use our imagination, but they're talking about big gantries, so big machines, literally taller than the average house, and these things will move up and down as they print. So again, you'll put the architecture in, and it will build the external, the internal walls, and all the things you need.
Now, something that, by the way, our guest on the program today is Maurice Misilowski, who joins us regularly on the program for our technology segment here on Radio Australia every Wednesday afternoon. Now, something that I've just thought of is, we have seen aspects of this in films, and I've just received a message come through from Papua New Guinea, just trying to decipher where it's come from. It's come from Ruth in Lae, who says, hey, didn't Star Trek do this sort of thing?
Ruth, I love you already. Live long and prosper. I mean, absolutely. What's fascinating is that much of what we saw with science fiction in Star Trek, in a lot of those movies of the 60s, and the books also, are now coming true.
Yes.
And the reason for that is quite simple, because it has gone into Ruth's mind, it's gone into my mind, it's gone into your mind.
Because or even recently as
well. Yes. But it's taken all of that time, because it was science fiction, it could never be done.
Yes.
But now you have scientists who are going back to that thought and saying, well, yes, it can be done. How do we make it happen?
And the other reason, I suppose, it could be happening, Maurice, and this is me just speculating, is you'd want the first copies, as you said, first you've got to do a scan, those to be accurate, because there's no point getting the copy, the printer, when they're not accurate. And it makes it really important, when it comes to something you did raise on the program, and that is the 3D printing of body parts.
Yes.
Okay, how are these being used?
Yes, so this is quite incredible, and this is relatively new. This is like in the last year, 18 months, but very much the last 6 months. What we're talking about, in the last 6 weeks, there was a hospital that was able to print human arteries. So what they did was they took, again, a facsimile copy of a patient's arteries. They were able then to make a 3D image of that. They rebuilt that 3D image in sucrose, which is a sugar substance, because what they were building was scaffolding. And then they injected. So once they had that sucrose identical to what the human artery was, they then injected that with human material, being the blood and the other things. When that solidified, this is like baking a cake, lots of steps, got to wait in between, let it set and cook. Once it had set and cooked, they then dissolved the sucrose, dissolved the sugar away, and they were left with the artery as it was before.
Okay.
How incredible.
It sounds amazing. I mean, I am trying to, because I know that...
Yes, again, you've got to see the video. So watch the movie.
But also anything could go wrong when it comes to applying this. Where would this have been used? So where this could it go into?
Well, where it would go into is back into the patient's body. Mm-hmm. So this is not as if we're going to... Well, the thought is that we shan't put them on shelves and wait for somebody to buy them. What we're more likely to do is to take these out of a human, mm-hmm. out of somebody who requires that surgery, and then to reuse, repurpose their material, because that's less likely to have rejection and more likely, of course, to be an exact need for them, mm-hmm. to remake that for them, mm-hmm. and then to reinsert it back into the body. That's generally how these things are used.
Okay, have they started yet?
Yes. So this is new. This is not with FDA. This is not with a huge amount of approval. Please don't go to your doctor tomorrow and ask for it. You know, we're 5-10 years away from it being ordinary. Mm-hmm. But the answer is yes, under the strictest of conditions, and again with all of the usual regulations around. It has been trialed in humans, so we've had a look at it, and it is working. While we're talking about that, there have also been interesting advents of human bones being 3D printed. This was done about 6 months ago, again at a hospital.
Mm. I'd imagine that to be a bit more straightforward.
Well, it is and it isn't, because what they've done, you're right, in many ways it is, because we don't have things flowing through it. There's not the same structure.
Yeah.
But what we were talking there was about the notion of they've taken out a hip bone from a woman and they have scanned that hip bone. They've then built what they call a scaffold, which is not entirely bone, but it's a scaffold strong enough to go back into the human body. So they reinsert it. Again, it's an exact replica down to the millimeter of what came out, goes back into the body, and then they allow the body to knit bone over the top of it, which is why it's called scaffolding.
Yes.
So strong enough to walk on. I don't assume you'd enter the Olympics with it, but strong enough to walk on and get around. And then you would wait the 3-4 months, because the body regenerates itself really quickly.
Yeah.
You would wait the 3-4 months, and you would begin to see, as they have, bone reforming on that scaffolding. And within a short space of time, what you have then is a very natural product put back into the body.
Yeah.
So that's human bones. Now, they're also doing the same with human organs. And they have done prototypes with these, prototype printing of kidneys, hearts, and livers. It sounds like a recipe for some offal or something. But what they're doing here is looking at, again, one of the greatest needs we have if we are going to live longer, healthier lives is this need to be able to have body parts that are available, literally to be put in as we wear out the ones we have. It hasn't been something we've had to worry about terribly much through the generations that we've lived, but now that we are living longer, healthier, and transplants are possible, we know in Australia that we really don't have a great... We don't have a great number of people that are willing to transplant at this stage, willing to offer their organs for transplant. So one of the better things we can do is to take the existing organ from that person, again, to do our scans to make sure it's an exact copy, and to print them and then reinsert them into the body. So we're talking again, as always, on a Wednesday afternoon. It's not about things that can be done right now at this moment, but we are seeing evidence, we are seeing clinical trials, we're seeing these things coming onto the screens of the people that will be able to prototype, build these for us, and I would assume we can look at them between 5 and 10 years, maybe 15 years away for some of this.
Yes, and as you mentioned earlier on, that some of it is replacing, this printing is replacing the work done by artisans and craftsmen. You know, it's something that, well, we need to think about a bit, I think, in the future, because it could well result in the losing of skills. But at the same time, as a result of this sort of mass production, you could also have the costs of some of these things coming down. It could benefit humanity.
Well, it can,
as well.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. With every technology, there's a good and a bad.
Mm.
So we will most probably lose some skill sets, but we will gain some other ones. And there's nothing good or bad about that. It just is evolution.
Mm.
But what we will see, though, is, I believe, a change in the way that we shop and that we purchase, for instance, because retail stores, for many of the things we buy, will no longer be required to have huge inventories.
Mm.
Because what you will do is one of two things. You will either choose the pattern, the style that you want, and this could be for your crockery, for your clothing, for the furniture, whatever it is you want to purchase. You could choose it. You can make it bespoke, which simply means you can do whatever you want with it. Change the colour, change the legs, change the fashion. And when you're finished on screen making it what you want it to be, hit the button and print it out.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen in a retail environment.
Sure.
Or the other thing that we're talking about happening is that you will more than likely be able to buy the rights to reproduce this at your own home printer.
Mm.
Because most probably in 15 years or so, many of us will have a home 3D printer.
Yes.
So we'll be able to go out and buy the pattern, so yes. to speak, as we have in the old days with knitting and yarns.
Yes.
Bring that pattern home.
That'd be nice to make your own clothes at home.
Well, yes. exactly. So yes. you'll be able to, you may be able to do that through these printers as we get down the track a decade or two from now.
Yes. And just before we wrap up, Morris, there is a darker side to this as well, as there always is
always.
In things. There are people actually printing guns. And,
yes.
and ones which actually have been loaded.
Yes.
That's worrying.
Well, again, because what you print is an exact copy of it. It is workable. This is not as if you're printing a toy that sits on a shelf. And you're right, this came across the airwaves in the last couple of weeks. Yes. There has been people that have gone out and 3D printed guns in Australia. I mean, everywhere in the world, this is a horrific story, not something that I would want to see, but of course this comes from America. Not better or worse, but there is a different viewpoint for many people of what guns are and who has access.
Diplomatic way of putting it, yes.
So that's where that story comes from. But this is machinery, and as we say every segment, time in, time out, it's people that make a choice of whether it's going to be used for good or bad. There are lots of great things we'll be able to do with this, and I just hope too many people don't get on the bandwagon and do the other not so savoury things with it.
Morris Misiluski, really appreciate you coming on Radio Australia again for our regular technology segment. Thanks for coming back.
Our pleasure.